This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very busy day today. So far, everything's kind of gone ahoyle in the NCAA tournament. Auburn, as a number one seed, was only up by one with about a minute and change to go on a 16 seed. And then they finished the first half in a flurry and have opened up a 10-point lead. We will hear from Bad Tiki in about a half hour. And in just a few minutes, something said after last night's Knicks game that may bother you. But if you're just tuning in, we've talked about many important things, such as criticism on me for not bringing in enough pizza initially for NCAA Tournament Day. And then Sean let out his feelings that he doesn't like St. John's and their fans, and he would like them to get knocked out. Mm. That has pissed off a lot of people, obviously on the phones at 888-808-1019. It's also pissed off one of our great coworkers, Anthony Gallo, who came to work today in a St. John's jersey. He's very upset with Sean, so we figured let's turn a live microphone on and let you say what you got to say. So what is your issue, Mr. Anthony Gallo?
Well, one, I want to apologize to you because I crushed you hard today. I was leading a revolution.
Yeah, I saw.
You paid it back. The pizza stinks. It's Ray's fault, not your fault.
Uh-huh.
But Sean, who I love, when this show got put together, the thing I was most excited about is I get to work with Sean more, and I hate it now. First of all, he's got terrible, for a fat guy, and I'm a fat guy, so I can call him that. For a fat guy, he's got terrible food opinions. The worst.
You don't like buffalo chicken pizza?
First of all, if you buy buffalo chicken pizza from somebody, it's because their pizza sucks. That's right there. That's the thing. No good pizzeria is selling buffalo chicken pizzas off the fly. This is also the same guy who said Chuck E. Cheese pizza is as good as Joe's, Bleecker's, Prince Street. So he should be revoked from having an opinion on pizza. Then
I'm a fat moron.
He questions. I don't even disagree with what some of you said about St. John's. But then he questions my St. John's fandom. My fandom.
Why are you a St. John's fan?
One, I grew up in the area. Okay. I love Big East basketball. And then I also went to the school. And I chose to go to St. John's over Syracuse because I'm a Red Storm fan.
You are an alum.
Yeah. Oh. I'm alum.
You graduated?
Yes, I graduated.
Prove it. By the way,
where's the degree?
It doesn't matter if you graduate to be an alum.
Is that true? Yeah. Eddie Jordan, alum of Rutgers. I don't think he graduated.
Yes. Okay, so you didn't graduate. We have that now.
I did graduate.
You, Miguel, I've known you for years. First time I've ever seen you wear anything St. John's related is today.
That's a lie.
No, it's not a lie.
I got kicked out of the old CBS newsroom for celebrating a three in the first half when St. John's lost to San Diego State.
I'm going to teach you a little lesson in life, kiddo. It's easy to lie about something if nobody remembers.
That's not true.
Okay.
Oh, listen, I've done a St. John's podcast. I go to at least four
or
five games.
Why aren't you still doing it?
Because
we said now the time to do it.
No, because there was five listeners. So.
that's how you grow a podcast.
Sean, advance your argument, nobody cared. That's why.
Bang.
But I never disagree with that. I care though.
Okay.
I never
disagree
with that.
You don't care though.
I do care.
You don't really care.
I'll be locked in at 9:45 with good pizza.
Okay.
Why do I have to take backlash on this?
No, this is more. Now it's Sean. My hire is at Sean.
Wild card Saturday night. You watching St. John's Villanova or you watching the football?
Who's playing? Is my team playing?
Literally.
It's also 2025. I don't have to make these decisions because I could stream one and then put the other one on my TV.
Right. My point is you just answered the question. You didn't watch St. John's. You're a fraud fan.
What
fraud
are you talking
degree.
About?
You
wild card. I've
he is a fraud and a complete liar.
No, you didn't.
I've
you
tweeted
didn't.
At it. Yes.
You didn't.
I tweet.
Said
I
you.
Watch.
Not once all year have you brought up St. John's in this newsroom,
because
Gallo.
You don't care.
You're lying and trying to paint yourself as
care.
A St. John's fan.
That's not care. True.
Okay. Right.
Me and my guy, BT, have commiserated for years. And Tiki, who I know, knows nobody cares. I've worked with Tiki for almost a decade now. How many times have I interrupted your in-the-break meetings to talk to BT about a meaningless St. John's game?
I guess when I get up and leave.
Yes. The same way when I talk soccer with him, BT would leave.
Exactly.
I hate it.
Like if we talk soccer now. By the way, did NYFC have a parade?
They didn't, and it's a testy subject.
Oh, was that pandemic related, though?
It was pandemic related.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they would have got Canyons of Heroes either way, because it's not. They wouldn't have even gotten the turnout the Liberty got.
Right.
To be fair.
Gallo was an NYFC fan. That's
the Liberty, in fairness, have developed a fan base for the last 25 years.
Yes.
Almost 30 years now, right?
Yeah.
96, 95, right?
A lot of the soccer crowd is going to experience the event, or a legend's playing in it that doesn't play for NYCFC, so they go.
I got you.
So no parade for St. John's then. You agree?
I do agree with that. My disagreement was never that. They could also do a parade in Queens. Why do they have to do the Canyon of Heroes?
Because they play at Madison Square Garden. They're New York City's team. I get that, but I'm just saying the parade would be in New York City.
Also, I'm going to say something that's going to be a little offensive to St. John's fans. Also, 3 years ago, UConn was New York City's team. Mm. And when Syracuse was good, that was New York City's team.
Well, I think the reason that that happened is because St. John's has been bad for a while, and there was certainly a belief they would never get to this point. I'm surprised they got to this point. Where they got a coach like Rick Pitino. And look, it took a special circumstance. Rick Pitino had to beg for a job.
Right.
Let's be real. And then St. John's had to lower their standards a little bit because Rick's got a little bit of a checker pack.
He got strippers in there. It's not a big deal.
I don't think
he was innocent.
It was NIL. That's what made it okay.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that.
They also had
the
a chance to hire
just, the strippers were just
I'm not
improper benefits.
You really want me to bring up other stuff there, T?
I mean,
no, the
this
other
is
stuff
a Catholic
ignored.
University, yeah. And I think that they didn't want to be associated with some of the things Rick Pitino was,
And let's be honest, under these special circumstances, Gal, St. John's also caught the Big East in the worst year of the Big East this year.
Oh, my God. Who was the last two champions?
Yeah.
Who won the last two national championships?
UConn, and they're
down. Big East team.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, and that's the Garden's real team, too, by the way.
Crane just blew the doors off, you know, maybe the second best team in the ACC, but, you know, we don't have ADs on the board to get teams in like last year.
All right.
What Gallo's alluding to is Creighton beat Louisville.
Yes. Like last year when Tiki's alma mater got in undeservedly.
You mean a team from Omaha beat a former Pitino team? A little ominous, huh?
All right. Thank you, Gallo. I think you're a big St. John's fan, and good luck tonight. I wish you all the best. I really do. That's Anthony Gallo. Does a great job here at WFAN. He's on digital, does fantastic, does shows, has a very deep, sexy voice, too, as you guys just heard.
True story.
And he's wearing a Felipe Lopez St. John's jersey.
Lopez.
Which is pretty badass. So last night, the Knicks played the Spurs. They got blown out. And I would be the first one to kind of put my arms around Knicks fans. I'd give them a massage and say, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
It is March. They are locked in, basically, to a 3 seed. They are playing without Jalen Brunson. I wouldn't go crazy about the result. Now, that's something I would say as a fan, as an IBO. But I'm not sure what you want as a Knicks fan is to hear excuses. Me making an excuse on the radio, or a Knicks fan making an excuse on the radio, or Tiki analyzing, hey, I think this is affecting them, is one thing.
Yep.
But do you want to hear your players make excuses?
Oh, of course.
You do want to hear them make excuses?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, here is Josh Hart after an awful performance doing what Tiki wants, making every excuse in the book.
You already know, like, the biggest thing about the NBA is the travel. That's the toughest thing. And we're in the dog days of the season. And so, you know, your body's already going to be tired and you got to get going. And then, you know, you got to find it mentally. And, you know, a little bit drained mentally, but we got to make sure we regroup. We got another tough one tomorrow with a team that plays it extremely fast. We're on the back-to-back and we lose an hour. So we got, you know, certain things scheduling-wise against us. So we got to make sure we, you know, pick it up.
So that was a 30-second clip. He talked about travel. He talked about his body being tired.
Yep.
He talked about the dog days of the season. He said how we need to find it mentally, how they're drained. And then he mentioned the back-to-back. They do play tonight against Charlotte. But that was not all. Josh Hart had more to say about, you know, what the hell's going on.
You've had a tough schedule the last couple of weeks, going on the road for a week and a half, come back, national TV game to go right into a back-to-back where we lose hours. So we knew it was going to be tough. We just weren't there, you know, physically or mentally. We were just fatigued.
So, tough schedule.
Fatigue's a bitch.
Fatigue's a bitch, man.
Makes a coward out of everybody.
National TV into a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. And when I heard Josh say this...
He's right, though.
I agree.
He's just telling the truth.
I agree. My answer was, I think he's saying a lot of truths.
Absolutely.
There's a problem, though.
Why?
You want to know the problem?
Yeah, tell me.
I would like to play you a clip from the captain of the New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson, after the Knicks had a loss back in January.
I mean, we can say that, but like I said, it's not an excuse of why we lost tonight. We don't say we were tired. This is not who we are.
We don't say we're tired. That's not who we are. The question to Jalen a few months ago was, hey, you guys must be tired, schedule, blah, blah, blah. And the captain of the New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson, rejected it.
We don't say we were tired.
We don't say we're tired. That's not who we are. Josh Hart took a minute of our time last night to do nothing but talk about how tired they are.
So what's your point?
My point is they miss Jalen Brunson's leadership.
Is it Jalen Brunson who is the leader of the team, and he will not make an excuse, which means there's no headline, but he's lying. Whereas,
who's lying, Jalen?
Yeah, they were tired back in January. Josh Hart is just keeping it real.
So you prefer the Josh Hart plan?
No, I prefer the Jalen Brunson plan, but I'm not mad at Josh Hart for just saying, I'm tired, dude. It's exhausting. They play too many minutes. They're shot.
Well, he didn't say that part though.
He alluded that part. I don't know if you didn't hear that, but that's what I heard.
Is that what you took out of it?
100%.
That's interesting.
I'm shot, tired. I haven't had a day off in what ever.
And they play like even on nights where they get blown out, like last night. They all play as starters 30 yes. minutes a night. So even on a night where you can say, hey, they're getting blown out, OG Anunoby played 37 minutes and Josh Hart played 35 minutes.
What's the point?
What's whose point?
I'm just saying, rhetorically, what is the point of that?
Of which point?
Playing 37 minutes.
Oh, Tom Thibodeau's point. I don't know if you meant my point, point.
No. I'm just saying in general, to the ether. The basketball ether. What's the point of that?
I think that is there are two levels to this, okay? And I understand the Knicks fan who says, bro, they lost by 15, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're going to be the 3 seed, which I've already laid out. This doesn't bother me. Nothing burger. Move along. That's fine. You have every right to think that. What jumped out at me before we get back to the minutes thing, which is also something to take out of this, is how what Josh said last night coming off one of his worst games of the year was a direct contradiction of what the captain says.
Yeah.
And it's a sign that they missed the captain, not just for the obvious reasons because they need the ball in his hands, but because there's that accountability that was not there last night when Josh Hart took the bait and basically said we're tired yeah. as an excuse for why they got their ass beat by a team that's tanking.
Well, Josh Hart is also, I don't want to say he's a shell, but he is a fraction of what he was a year ago. Last year, you could count on him to go find points, go find buckets, whether it was knocking down three-pointers with confidence or being aggressive rebound, offensive rebound, and getting put back, whatever it was. These last couple of games, he scored 0 points. I don't know what he scored 2 days ago, but he had two last night, right? It's just he's not that same player. And even when he's not scoring, you could count on him to have double-digit rebounds.
Right.
It's not that. You're not seeing it right now. So he's either actually really tired or something's off with him.
Well,
it could be he's dealing with the injuries.
Yeah, there were reports a few weeks ago about a knee issue, yes. and I think Stephon Bondy had said he may need surgery, and then Josh Hart said it's not true, and mm-hmm. Bondy walked it back. Clearly there's something physically wrong with him. But then why is he playing, to your point, and this goes back to point A,
because,
35 minutes a night?
Because Tibbs depends upon him. He needs his example. And it's hurting him in the short and long run. Because if this lingers into the postseason, if there's this fatigue, if this is lingering, I don't know, my knee hurts and I don't feel like I can go 100%, it's going to hurt him in the postseason as well. Right. If there's anybody on this team that deserves to just sit down for a couple of days, it's Josh Hart.
No doubt. And even in a night like last night where they were getting blown out throughout, I know they did make the run to get within, I think, about 6. Everybody played over 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you can have every right to say I'm wrong for saying this as a former athlete. But as a fan of athletes, even if the excuses are true, because I'm not denying that those excuses are all true.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a fan, don't want to hear it.
No.
Just tell me you suck.
Yeah, but
that's it.
How else are you telling Tom Thibodeau?
Forget Tom. Well, the minutes thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that is a different story. Telling Tom Thibodeau through the media that you need to cut down minutes is one thing.
Talking this is the about, second guy that's done it.
Yeah, but Mikal Bridges did it straightforward. He said, we're playing too many minutes. Josh Hart's confusing me because he's making excuses and getting my fan radar up to say, hey, dude, stop making excuses. Jalen Brunson already told us we don't make excuses.
Excuse. I think he was just stating a fact. Like the reality is, if you're tired, you're tired.
But you heard what Jalen said.
I'd heard what Jalen said, but that's Jalen.
He's the leader of the team.
Of course he is, but he's not leading right now.
Oh, that's a problem.
Of course it is.
I think that's what they miss. I wonder if Jalen Brunson's on the floor last night. Look, they probably still lose. It's an off night. Mm. If Jalen keeps the troops in order, to not be sitting there whining about back-to-backs and travel. Like, I'm not arguing with you that those things aren't real. Of course they're real. The Knicks have had a brutal schedule. I'm not disagreeing with that. But when the star player is sitting there in January saying, we don't make excuses, and now Josh Hart's out there for 45 seconds on a diatribe about traveling back-to-backs, and we're not there physically, and we're not there mentally, it sounds like you're contradicting everything the captain said. Now, back to your point, because I think your point is probably more critical.
Mm-hmm.
If this was a message to Tom Thibodeau about minutes, I think he needs to be more direct.
Yeah.
Like Mikal Bridges.
Right.
Or just do it behind the scenes. And if it's not working behind the scenes, then we got problems.
Right.
Then that screaming match that they had was not a nothing burger and maybe is a something burger if Tom Thibodeau is strictly ignoring what Josh Hart tells him. Because as much as Tommy likes to make that cute little line like, he must have been cloned, he's a machine, he's a dog, that's not the case lately. The case is he's human. The case is he had a minus 26 last night and couldn't make a shot. The case is Josh Hart right now is struggling. So he's not a clone.
Nope.
He's not amazing. He's not the Energizer Bunny. He's a human being that breathes, bleeds like all of us.
And he's probably hurt.
And he's probably hurt, and yet he still played 35 minutes in a game they got their ass kicked.
Right.
So it's a problem. Let's go to Edgar. He's calling from the fine island that is very long. How are you, Edgar?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
First time caller.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Yeah, so about the Knicks, with 14 games left, I believe, 13 after tonight, do you foresee a lineup change coming? Me, I personally feel like I think Mitchell Robinson should be starting next to Karl Anthony Towns in order to, you know, offset his defense and Jalen Brunson's a bit once, you know, Brunson returns. I also have Miles McBride in mind to also start because he's pretty good defensively.
Yeah.
I love Josh Hart. Trust me. Believe me, I'm on Twitter and I say it all the time. Dude is a trooper and he always plays hard. I know he's been having, you know, some bad games lately. He did have the triple-double against the Miami Heat, but overall, he's a really good player. But then I'm looking at Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart. Which guy would you pick to come off the bench if
Josh,
you know, Mitchell Robinson starts?
Josh Hart.
Yeah. Produce.
Josh, yeah. Hart.
Well, I mean, here's the challenge. Like, last night against Sando Mamukulis Villa, like, they just...
Seton Hall Pirate,
they
baby!
They didn't rotate to him. And so, what perimeter defender is guarding a seven-footer who can shoot three-pointers?
Karl Anthony Towns defended like crap last night. Well, he gave you all the offense you want.
He was only on him for three of those, but it was mostly Precious. And even if Precious is running out to him, he can't affect his shot. You know what I mean? So if you start Mitchell Robinson, he's going to get toasted on the perimeter. That's not his deal. For whatever reason, they had a better lineup last night. And the Knicks played tired. They didn't score enough offensively.
Yeah, I mean, Cat did. He was the one guy who was consistent offensively. The problem, I think, with starting Mitch right now is they're playing tonight against the Charlotte Hornets on a back-to-back. He's not playing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks are taking it easy with him. And as much as we just talked about minutes, Mitchell Robinson's not playing big minutes.
Yeah.
You look at last night.
He can't.
No, I get that. So starting him, kind of, you're just divvying up the 17 minutes a night he's going to play in a very different way. So I don't know if he's in position to start until he's all the way back.
Right.
Now, the early returns on Mitch and Kat on the floor at the same time are very good. They have defended at a very high level in the periods of time where they have shared the floor together. So I definitely think there's a lot of potential with Kat at the four and Mitch at the five. But right now, Mitch is still working his way back as well as he played last night because he's still only playing 17 minutes a night.
Mm.
Let's go to Mark in Southern California. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up?
Evan, I don't know if I heard you right, but did you say, tell me if you suck, you suck? Okay, on this particular thing, you suck. Because one reason why is because you know them guys that agree with you on certain things and sound like they're in your corner. And let me put it this way. You know that word, misery loves company?
Yeah.
Being you a Nets fan,
you sound
just like
But that has nothing to do with this. I'm being honest.
The Knicks, You're trying to be politically correct. But
no,
you're not.
No. I'm not trying to be politically correct. I'm being honest with you. Jalen Brunson says, don't bitch about travel and complain about being tired, and Josh Hart does it. Where am I wrong?
But wait a minute. No, but you're not wrong, but get this. This is the thing. He said that in January. This is March, man. It's a whole different month.
Right.
The other thing, too, on top of that, is I have to admit, I'm not an athlete, but for a month of November back in 97, I flew back and forth every weekend from L.A. to Newark. I put my suitcase in my manager's office, and I went right to work. Man, by 2 hours after that, I felt like somebody hit me with that suitcase because of the jet lag that comes with it. It's no way around that, man. You can't win that.
But Mark, I'm not disagreeing with the fact that travel's a bitch in the NBA.
Yeah.
I'm not at all. I'm disagreeing with the fact that Josh Hart publicly used it as an excuse when the star player said, we don't do that. And I don't buy your, well, he did it in January. He would say that in March differently. No, he wouldn't. He's the captain of the team. Jalen Brunson would not sit there and blame travel. He wouldn't do it. So I'm not.
You're right.
Bitter Net fan. I'm quoting a guy I respect in your room, and his name is Jalen Brunson, who I've proclaimed is the king of New York City. And I believe that basically more and more as every day goes by.
Yeah, but
things like this prove it.
He's just not available right now.
I know,
so
but
there's nothing you can do about it.
The attitude should still be in that locker room.
Mm.
By the way, we have an update in the NCAA tournament. I'm looking at the score, and I'm still stunned. The Clemson Tigers are 1-for-15 from three. They have 5-for-24 from the field in the first half against McNeese State, and they are trailing by a score that feels very ungodly. What's the score of this game?
It is 31-13.
Wow. 31-13 at the half.
And the amazing part about this game is McNeese State's coach is Will Wade, who's had a lot of trouble in his life. He accepted a deal yesterday or 2 days ago to coach NC State going forward. So he's coaching this out in the tournament now, but this whole team knows he's leaving and they're playing their ass off.
How about that? So they've got a chance to pull off that very fun traditional 12-5 upset. We talked earlier that's kind of like the popular. Right.
That's the one that happens almost every year.
It feels like it does. And they've got a great chance to do it because they're up 31-13. So far, everything's
13 points and a half. Think about that.
How do you do that? Mm. You know what they must be? They must be very tired.
No.
They must have just had a lot.
They're just terrible shooting right now.
That's it. Simple as
Taking way too many three-pointers,
Sometimes you suck because you suck.
That's right.
You know who once told me that?
Who?
Tiki.
That's right.
Did I phrase that wrong?
Auburn is starting to now run away from Alabama State, which was a close game at the half, or right before the half, is now up to 14.
Earlier today, Sean said he does not rooting for St. John's. It caused a lot of backlash. Here's a guy who agrees with Sean. Mike in Brooklyn, how are you, Mike?
What's up?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. What's up?
I'm taking a different angle, though. It's not that I don't want the players to be paid. I think the NIL and the transfer portal, I think those are fair after all these years.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is that a guy like Mike Rapoli could pay half of the NIL money and St. John's blows the whole Big East out of the water with $4 million a year. Why not share the money within the conference, so that the conference, every team has an equal amount of money to spend on players? Otherwise, you have an alumni like Mike from Middle Village, Mike Rapoli, who is able to just splurge and get whoever, and they're not even. What was it that I heard? Patino said he's not even looking at high school.
Yeah. He goes right to the transfer portal, basically.
I mean, that's crazy. I'm not the guy, and I get it. There's a math teacher that's been calling up, and he's big on, the student-athlete, and I think that pretense is important for people. The, well-rounded student-athlete is, an ideal to aspire to, but they got to get paid. But we need some kind of, it's the Wild West, as everybody knows, so that's what's dampening. Nobody thinks it's a Cinderella team, right?
No, I think what college and Mike, you make a good point, because college sports has become bottom line, like professional sports. That is, winning is the only thing that matters anymore. And so whatever it takes to find a way to win, paying whatever it is to bring in X, Y, Z quarterback, whatever it is to bring in disgruntled transfer from Seton Hall, whatever that takes is what these coaches are going to do. And I agree with you. I hate it for high school kids. I hate it for high school seniors who just are now very rarely going to get chances to get scholarships. Like, especially those guys that aren't five-star recruits. It's just, like, it's almost like college sports is becoming inaccessible to you.
No, you're right.
And that's a shame.
I think for the fans, I would equate this to professional sports and say, it doesn't really matter how you get there, as long as you get there.
Right.
Like for Met fans, the Mets are a great example in this. They have a very, very high payroll. They have the highest payroll in baseball, or the second highest payroll in baseball. If they win a championship, no Met fan's going to say, boy, baseball needs a salary cap.
Yeah.
Boy, they're spending so much money. So, yeah, the system is very different. And there are reasons why 10 years ago, most of us looked at St. John's and said, boy, they'll never get back to this. There are reasons why we're wrong, and NIL is a big part of it.
No doubt.
And the changing college landscape is a big part of it. But enjoy it.
Yeah.
These are the rules.
Well, I mean, it's also why the NFL is the most popular sport in America.
Because of the salary cap?
Because of the salary cap. It feels balanced. It feels like you can suck one year and be in the NFC Championship game the next year.
It's a great question. If the NFL didn't have a salary cap, okay, and it was the wild, wild west, and the Cowboys spent more than anyone else, the Giants did, all that.
You'd see the same teams every year.
You saw the same teams every year, right? Would the NFL still be the king it is now? Because a lot of the things that make the NFL popular is gambling, it's the violence, it's the beauty of the sport.
Well, think about the gambling side of it. That would become, I mean, you'd only make money on rooting for the random, ridiculous upset. Because it's too predictable.
Well, the actual results would be predictable, but point spreads would adjust to it. Yeah. Like, things would adjust. See, I think it would be less popular. I agree with you, but I wouldn't think it would come sinking down to baseball's level, because I think what makes the NFL king is not just the system that they have.
Oh, it's scarcity makes it king.
The scarcity of the games.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
It's demand. It's
the demand of the game. Right. Absolutely. I still think it would be incredibly popular, but I get your point. Like, the NFL has a system that, in terms of the competitive balance, even though, I'll say it because it's true, baseball has more competitive balance than football, but it's still a broken system. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The results tell me that. Go look at the World Series winners. Look how many Super Bowls the Chiefs have been in. But it's not because of the system. It's because the quarterback is really good and they're really well run.
I think when you talk about the Chiefs, it's because they've gamed the system because of their quarterback.
I agree.
And you look at the Patriots, they gamed it also because of their quarterback for a different reason. Tom Brady wasn't elite thrower like Pat Mahomes and this playmaker that could find his way out of any situation. But tell me how many times in his career Tom Brady was the highest paid quarterback.
Not many.
I don't think any.
Right.
Like none.
But the results are still the same. Like, even though there's a reason, which I agree with you, on why the Chiefs and the Patriots dominated, baseball still has more world champions than the NFL does. It still has more competitive balance. I'll give you another area where baseball has the edge on football, and this is just so depressing, but I'll say it anyway. There's no baseball team with a playoff drought like the Jets. There was, the Mariners had it. They finally broke it. They were the team to get off the snide. We will get back to your phone calls. A lot of excitement around St. John's tonight. We'll talk to BT a little bit later on. He's up in Providence as they get set for the big game against Omaha. We will keep you posted on what's going on right now in the NCAA tournament. How we doing today? It is NCAA Tournament Thursday. And so far, we got one upset brewing. McNeese, as a 12 seed, is up 31-13 at the half on Clemson. We will keep you posted. We'll also get back to your calls in a second, 888-808-1019. But it is that time, Thursday at a little after 4:30, where we have a conversation with Bad Tiki. And, of course, Bad Tiki is brought to you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Shop 24-7 at securitydodge.com. I remind you, a Bad Tiki is a sentient, AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back to the show.
Yes. You smell that, boys? The madness of March is upon us.
All right, Bad Tiki, finally, you come bring in some sports.
No, my plump friend. I'm talking about the madness of traditional Tiki losing his mind on callers this month. Pioneer Tiki, buddy, are you okay? Do you need to talk to someone? Maybe Therapist Tiki, Shrink Tiki, Cali Kush Dealer Tiki?
No, man, I'm good, man, Tiki. But what are you talking about?
Come on, Architect Tiki. You've been a little on edge lately, yelling at callers using spicy language. I'm starting to see myself in you, forefather Tiki. Now, while I am personally proud of you, it is a little concerning just making sure my guy is okay.
Look, bad Tiki, when you do thousands of hours on the radio, sometimes a caller pushes your buttons. We're humans. It happens.
I'm glad you mentioned that red storm crotch. There's a difference of you're human. I, bad Tiki, am not. I never lose my cool. I am exceptionally handsome. I am very tall, and I have incredible hair. I run my empire with the efficiency of an 1820 sweatshop. Which reminds me, today, I had to make some unfortunate cuts to staff.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, bad Tiki. A lot of businesses are struggling right now. I hope everything's all right.
Thanks, my little sports radio Buddha statue. I had to let some Tikis go. Tough decisions, but business is business. We said goodbye to underachiever Tiki. He sucked. Fat Tiki kept eating my stash of Delafay gold chocolates. Those are $500 a box. And also Mad Tiki. Now, Mad Tiki was an excellent phone guy, answered every call with the perfect level of aggression and decorum for Bad Tiki Corp. Hang on a minute. Real Tiki, you should replace him. I mean, you're already yelling at callers. You curse at them. You're a pretty mad guy. Why not actually get paid for it? We have great benefits. It has to be better than WFAN.
It's all good, Mad Tiki. I think I'll pass on that. But I do appreciate the offer. I wish Mad Tiki the best.
Your loss, Ancestor Tiki. But speaking of replacements, Shawnee Baby, Fat Tiki's position is also available. And I won't lie, you'd be an upgrade. Fat Tiki was a disaster.
Okay, what exactly did Fat Tiki do?
All the important stuff. Ate the leftovers, tested out the office chairs for durability, and of course, by being fat, he raised Tiki morale by making all the other Tikis feel good about themselves. Sean, this is your calling. We'll even let you wear a onesie. Think about it. Every Thursday is donut day. We have free donuts. Can you believe that? Oink.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. That does sound nice. I'll get back to you on that one, Bad Tiki.
Wait a minute. Why is it so peaceful in here today? Something feels off. Where's the high-pitched human chihuahua you employ? Wait, did you finally fire Positive Tommy? Let's get this party started. Death to Positive Tommy. I'd like to take this moment to thank everyone who ever believed in me. Mom, Dad, Mrs. Roberts, this one is for you. Positive Tommy is gone forever. Another win for the baddest of the bad.
No,
bad
no.
Tiki, yahoo. No. Hey, Tiki's, beer's on me. We did it. He's gone for good.
No, Bad Tiki. Tommy is not fired. He's just on vacation.
Darn. Well, when you finally dump that dead weight, I believe underachiever Tiki would fit right in. He does everything Tommy does. Answer phones, fetch your food deliveries, maybe even accidentally book a guest. Also, he's a Tiki, so you know he'll at least be handsome. Not like fugly Lou Gower. Total upgrade.
You do realize that Tommy does do a lot. He helps prep for the show. He runs the board. He does the bridge show known as the Lou Gower when we're off the air. You know that.
The bridge show. Why don't you just air commercials or put on that guy from Entourage for 20 minutes? What's his name again? The Frog Boy? Toad Sack? Oh, Turtle. Yeah, put Turtle on the air instead. Oh, no. Now you've done it, Evan.
Enough. I have had it. Bad Tiki, you promised me when the positive one was gone, negative Tommy would reign supreme. It's my time. Please, let me break free from this curse.
This is going to get really dark now, isn't it?
I won't miss my chance to escape. Evan Tiki, I'll do anything. Evan, I'll wrinkle your shirts to perfection, just how you like. Tiki, I'll shrink your shirts in the laundry so they are as tight as can be, just like positive Tommy used to. Sean, my king, imagine a world where your chili bowl is always full to the top. Sir, your chili chalice will be bottomless. I swear it. Give me a chance.
Ha, 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 ha. Negative Tommy, you kill me. But no, I need you. You're too valuable to my operation. Bad Tiki Corp wouldn't be what it is today without you. Your negativity and your comic relief. We love you, Negative Tommy. You're a vital cog in the Bad Tiki Empire.
Bad Tiki, I don't know what to say. For the first time in my life, I feel seen. I feel important. I don't feel so negative. Thank you, Bad Tiki.
Negative Tommy, Stop getting all sentimental and do your job. Escort underachiever Tiki, Mad Tiki, and Fat Tiki out of the building. And be careful with Fat Tiki. He bites. When you are done, my parking spot needs sweeping.
Fat Tiki, don't you lay a fat finger on Bad Tiki's Delafay gold chocolates. Those are $500 a box.
Ah, another heartwarming Bad Tiki moment. All right, I gotta go. I got a busy day ahead. I'm digging through the JFK files to make sure the CIA redacted any mention of me and my accomplices. Big problem if my or my partner's name gets out.
Wait, Bad Tiki, your name is mentioned in the JFK files?
It better not be. I can't go to jail. If my accomplice and I are named in the documents, all of the dominoes will fall. Who will run my Bad Tiki empire? Who will be the board op for Boomer and Geo? I promised Eddie Scazzare I would protect him. Bad Tiki always keeps his word. Now I must be going. I promised Mrs. Roberts I'd order pizzas for the tournament. Not sad little disappointing baby pizzas. Babies don't even eat pizza. I only order big delicious pizzas for grown-ups. And enough for everyone. Evan, you Rico Broganala bum. Bad Tiki, out.
Okay. Bad Tiki, I remind you, is a sentient AI-generated being and not affiliated with or representative of The Real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber WFN Odyssey or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment.
Now, do we need to find out if Eddie has an alibi for...
I was thinking that. I was also trying to do math in my head to figure out how old he was during the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
And the math could make him like three.
A toddler.
Something like that. He may not have even been born. I'm trying to do the math real quick. Let's go to Joe down in Miami. How are you, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good. What's up, dude?
Good. What's up?
You know what I'm calling? I'm calling about the stance that Sean's taken with St. John's. Mm. Right? So I
unfortunately, Joe, we have to let you go. I think he said that you're faking something. What are you faking?
No, the stance I'm taking.
Oh, the stance that you're taking.
Yeah, his phone is as crappy as the St. John's effort they'll give him.
God. Wow. Why? You're doubling down.
Yeah, well, it's,
when you're here, Tiki, you keep going.
Obviously.
It started with simply you want St. John's to lose.
Yeah, just
and
because
now,
of their fans, actually.
Now it's
not
more
even because of their team.
No, nothing about the team. Now you're actually talking trash that an 18.5-point favorite is somehow going to lose tonight.
All the pressure in the world on them. I better not hear any problems. Patino's here. This is all the pressure on you here now.
I mean, the pressure's on them, but if they lose this game, what are we saying tomorrow about
it.
Them?
I got it.
What do you got?
I got it.
What?
I know what's going on here.
What's going on?
What's going on?
He bet the points.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. I would have loved to. See, that's also another problem, Tiki.
He took the 18.5.
I would have loved to. But we live in New York where I can't even bet on these damn kids.
That is true.
How un-American is this? Nah. I should be able to bet on these kids.
No, you're right about that. I was looking at a New York-New Jersey parlay tonight because everybody plays. Like the Devils, Islanders, Rangers, Nets, Knicks, they all play along with St. John. So I was like, oh, man, what would a parlay like that pay out? And I forgot, like I do basically every time I think about this, you can't bet on St. John's in New York.
Mm.
You're not allowed to do it. You have to be in the state of New Jersey to bet on St. John's. Much like if you're in the state of New Jersey, you can't bet on a Jersey-based college.
It's absurd.
It's absolutely crazy.
Gambling problem. Just so everybody knows, I'm not a monster. Mm-hmm. I also want to take this time to apologize to somebody as well.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to apologize to St. John's fans. I apologize to Jordan Travis. What's her name?
Jordan Travis?
What's her name?
Hudson? Jordan Travis on the Jets.
Hudson?
Jordan Hudson. You're right, not Jordan
Bill Belichick's
Travis.
Girlfriend.
And Bill Belichick. She has released the behind-the-scenes making of the photo with video.
Mm.
It's not a fake. Bill did it.
Wow.
Well, it's funny you say that because yesterday, if you guys because Sean thought that picture of Bill, for those that didn't see it, it was viral video and picture of Bill Belichick lifting up his girlfriend with just his legs on a beach.
Yes, called acro yoga.
And Sean said, there's no way that's real. He faked it. And I said, I don't think it's that hard. I can do that to you. So yesterday in the middle of the show, with Tiki doing play-by-play, and I put the video up on social media, I tried to do the Belichick on Jordan Hudson, and it was a miserable failure, which, if anything, just painted respect not just for Bill, but as Tiki explained, that Jordan Hudson contributed to Bill being able to do it.
Right, her balance, her alignment, spreading of her weight so it's not all concentrated on his... on one part of her body.
Meanwhile, Sean put all his weight on top of me. So we tried this yesterday, and I don't know if you heard this, but Jerry Recco, And Boomer Esiason actually analyzed my attempt earlier today on the morning show.
I did see on social media he tried doing the Belichick girlfriend thing with Marash.
Oh. That must have ended
with Marash. Correct.
First of all, his feet probably sunk into Marash's ass.
Oh, it wouldn't have been his ass.
It would have been his front.
No, it would have been his ass. I thought she was like...
Well, he did a few different things with her. Oh, but okay. In this case, Evan got down on his back.
Yeah.
Raised his legs.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then Marash sat on his feet.
Oh, I thought Belichick.
And he tried to lift him up. It did not go.
My girlfriend was like a bird.
Did not. Know? Well, maybe Marash would have been a bird had he not been so heavy and he could have lifted him.
Plus, Evan's kind of scrawny. You get that too. You know, Belichick's got a little meat on him, and obviously his girlfriend's in very good shape.
Like 95 pounds.
Yeah, a little easier.
Which is why this was doomed from the beginning.
Evan had it tougher.
I did have it tougher.
That is true. The weight is very, very much on them. Speaking of Booms, by the way, St. John's fans, if you win, I will be bartending with Booms Saturday out on Long Island, the Tap Room in Huntington from 3 to 5 Eastern.
You doing bartending?
I'm guest bartending with Booms.
Very cool.
For a great cause, his charity, come out to Long Island,
what
Huntington,
time?
The Tap Room. From 3 to 5 p.m. Saturday afternoon.
St. John's could be playing at that time.
They could be. So guess what?
If you're all
mad at me, St. John's fans. I'm the one who's got to serve you the drinks while you're watching the Johnnies. So come torture me.
Just make sure you tip them.
That's an experience. All going to a great cause.
If St. John's loses tonight, and I don't think anybody honestly thinks they will, because most of us don't know anything about Omaha other than the fact that that's a city in Nebraska.
And Peyton Manning loves calling it.
And Peyton Manning like screaming it, yeah. But if somehow St. John's does lose, what's your tactic tomorrow? Like, you're dancing on everybody's grave?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I would just say, what's the matter? How come I don't see all the St. John fans walking around? I thought the city was
buzz. What do you think that St. John fan is going to say? Because I heard Sal's take on this, that even if they lose, it was a great season.
Yeah, the Big East champions. I didn't get to experience it. They'll have the typical loser mentality we always have in this town when our team doesn't succeed up to their par. Mm. They're going to pull the same card I pull when the Rangers fail, you know, Yankees when they were. I know the playbook because I run the place.
this is rare, though.
This is rare. A 2-seed losing to a 15, Marquise Sutton slamming dunks all over.
It would be, I don't want to speak out of turn here because I'm not a St. John's fan, but I am a fan of teams. This would be a disaster. They can't lose this game.
This would be worse.
I don't think St. John's fans would explain it away or talk about a great year. I think it would be, how the hell did we lose to a 15 seed?
A Rick Pitino team being the 2-seed in this town losing would be a worse failure than KD and Kyrie with the Nets. I'm telling you right now, it will be.
What?
It would be a worse failure than Aaron Rodgers with the Jets.
No.
Oh, yes, it would be.
Because I don't think there was any expectation for the St. John's this year.
I know
everybody thought they would be good, better, but nobody expected them to be run away with the Big East and then win the Big East tournament and be a 2-seed. Nobody. There was nobody that thought that was the case at the beginning of the season, especially because Pitino brought in all these transfers.
But I think the sport dictates that. You didn't know what to expect. But now that we are here, Tiki, they are a 2-seed. 11 times in NCAA tournament history this has happened. 11 times. And some schools, like when Michigan State loses to Middle Tennessee, they recover. It's a Tom Izzo team. St. John's is never here. They're the 2-seed. They lose tonight and go down versus 15. That is a bigger New York flame out than the Aaron Rodgers era, than the Kyrie KD era, and I don't want to hear the difference. You're putting Rick Pitino, you're a 2-seed. You can't go down tonight.
Hold on. It's only a disaster if they lose this game to Nebraska Omaha.
I don't even think it's Nebraska Omaha. I think it's just Omaha.
No, it is the University of Nebraska at Omaha.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's in Omaha. So it's a. It's.
I know. I'm
sorry. Right. So they lose to this game, and then Rick Pitino says, I'm going to take whatever job.
My goodness.
And he leaves. Then it's a disaster. But I don't think that's happened.
But you can't ever guarantee that St. John's will be this high a seed again, this kind of path again. It's a problem they lose tonight.
I think with Pitino there, yeah, absolutely.
You're probably right. However, all we know is what's in front of us right now. They are a 2-seed. We've never seen them in our lives, basic for most of us. You lose tonight. I don't want to hear the laughing at the Mets with Scherzer and Verlander. This is worse. This is worse than no more. If you're a Nick St. John's fan, no more making fun of Kyrie and KD with the Nets. Whoa. This is worse.
As always, there's a lot of truth in what you say, but you have to take it to a level that makes it insanity.
Mm-hmm.
So the expectations change in the middle of a season. We've all experienced this. Life changes. You know, yes, coming into the year, the St. John's fan said, let's go to the tournament. Let's just be good. They were on the bubble last year. They didn't make the tournament. I don't think they deserved to make the tournament last year. So obviously you're looking for progress. Once you have the season that you have and you win the Big East regular season and tournament, and you're the two seed, 1,000% the game has changed. It's a disaster if they lose to Omaha. So that's where we agree. I will shake your hand and say you're right. I think people will be in a foul mood tomorrow. I think people would be screaming and yelling.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, it's a 15-2 matchup. Yes, and they're an 18.5-point favorite.
People like who?
People who care. I didn't say me.
Yeah. I was just making sure.
I didn't say Jerry Recco.
I'm just making sure we're not opening the show with that.
No, no. I'm not saying I'm going to scream about it. I think that the St. John fan would be freaking fuming to lose a game like that. So I agree with you. Yes, it would put a dark cloud over what's been a great season. Despite Rick Pitino earlier today being named Coach of the Year. Despite all the greatness, there would be a, oh my God, what a disaster. 1 o'clock in the morning, they're losing to a 15 seed. But the second part is the extreme. Why they're not Aaron Rodgers and why they're not KD and Kyrie is that even if they're not a two seed next year, as long as Rick Pitino is patrolling the sidelines in Queens/Madison Square Garden, they're going to be a tournament team. And one thing I've learned about the tournament is sometimes it's the year where you're the five seed. Sometimes it's the year where you're not as highly projected where you go on the run.
Tell Gonzaga that.
No, I get, but to say that this is it and this is KD Kyrie or this is Aaron Rodgers,
it's just harder.
Is such an extreme statement.
True, but it's just so much harder, especially if you're not a blue blood, a team that's consistently there, knows how to win at this stage, understands the nuances of the tournament, and knows that it's not about the better team, it's about the matchup.
But you don't think the experience would then help them?
Yeah, but
if Kadari Richmond is back next year, the experience, the indignity of losing to a 15 seed would actually help. It helped your team.
Yeah, but you got to remember, that Virginia team was full of seniors, right? I mean, it's like Kyle Guy was a senior. DeAndre Hunter was maybe he was a junior, but they were all upperclassmen. And Mamadi Diakite, he's a senior. Like the guys who made the plays were all experienced in Tony Bennett's Virginia system for multiple years. The only one that wasn't was Kihei Clark, who was, a sophomore. So it's like that team was good only because they'd been together for a couple of years.
Right.
And that team had experienced one of the most humiliating losses in the history of the NCAA tournament, becoming the first one seed to lose to a 16 seed. But they rebounded by becoming a one seed again.
Yeah, and winning a national championship.
Right. The crazy thing is that year that they won, three of the one seeds were from the ACC.
Mm.
So it was like almost no matter what happened, they kind of had an edge.
Right.
Because they were very familiar. Ultimately, they got Texas Tech and then Auburn. No, I actually think it was the other way around. They had Auburn and then Texas Tech in the final. And it was just, I don't know, they found a way to rebound after a humiliating loss.
But why would we assume?
But it was because Tony built his teams to be like sustainable.
I got it, but Rick Pitino is
4-year team. Not 1-year one and done team.
Well, I don't think this is a one and done team. I don't think that's the case.
Okay,
I think
we'll see.
I don't think guys are leaving. How many NBA players do they have on their team
right now?
Not
a lot.
That's my point. So I think they would get another opportunity. Now I am
unless
a believer.
He replaces them like he did last year,
right? But if he's replacing them, he's doing it to get better. My only point is they're going to be good as long as Pitino's there. I think the scenario you drew out that he's going to leave, he's never leaving.
I
think this is his last job. And so as long as he's patrolling the sidelines, St. John's will get cracks at the apple. You know what I mean?
I understand.
So two
that.
Things can be true. It would be a disaster to lose. I agree with you. But I don't think you could put it in the pantheon of New York disasters like Aaron Rodgers and Kyrie KD. I can't do that.
Is Pitino in the college basketball world not as big a figure as Aaron Rodgers, KD, and Kyrie? That's why I'm bringing it to here. Okay? They are not going to... Villanova and UConn will be back. I have a hard time thinking St. John's is ever again this highest seed in the NCAA tournament.
But I don't think they need to be, is my point.
Okay, to make a run. They can't have the embarrassment of going down versus 15 tonight. You can't. Or it tarnishes the whole thing with Pitino here.
It tarnishes it until next season.
Okay. But we don't know. What we don't know is what's next. We didn't know what happened with Virginia would be next. Virginia erased that. We can't guarantee that tomorrow. Right.
You know what's funny about what you're saying? It leads me to a conversation we actually had in the booth at Yankee Stadium during the World Series. And you argued with me about this. And I said, look, Teak, love Aaron Judge. This may be his last shot. Yeah. And you were like, what do you mean? I was like, we don't know if the Yankees are ever going to get back here. Mm-hmm. And you're like, but yeah, the Yankees, they'll be good. And while they may be good and they may get back there, look what's happened since. Juan Soto left as a free agent and Gerrit Cole had Tommy John surgery.
Right.
And so you're right with what you're saying about you never know about the future, because it was my own words when talking about the Yankees of, hey, once you're there, you got to take advantage of this because you don't know if there'll be another opportunity.
Right, and especially, and then you didn't mention Giancarlo Stanton. And
yeah, right.
We did this exercise before. There's three guys that are back, basically.
Yeah.
And in 2027, if Rick Pitino takes St. John's to the Sweet 16 as a 5 seed, and that's as far as they ever get, you don't think St. John's fans will always look back at 2025 and go, that was our year and we freaking blew it.
We will get to your phone calls. Sean has a Cinco de Five-O list he will unveil, plus another edition of WFAN Flashback, where we reminisce on a classic moment in FAN history. And we'll get you set for the St. John's game later in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Here's a quick scoreboard update. Gonzaga, Georgia, and 9 seed versus an 8 seed. You want to know what the score is with 11 minutes to go in the first half? 27-3. Gonzaga leads Georgia 27-3 halfway through the first half in that 8-9 matchup.
Bulldogs versus Bulldogs, too.
How about that?